Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. So glad you come back with us this week. And I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here each and every week to be with you, to answer your questions and to interact with Dr. Pat Allen. So much fun. And what do we have going on? Well, let me tell you. If you go to our website, www.drpatallen.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. But remember, when you do, the only way you'll get your treats is by clicking the link in the email that we send you after you sign up. That way you make sure you won't miss any of our newsletters, and you'll find out all of the new and interesting information that we have about our wonderful new classes, which I think we've talked about a little bit, but I'll remind you again to sign up for those classes. And for more information, go to the wantistore.com. You'll see the signups there. Remember, these are very small, intimate classes. Dr. Allen works one-on-one with people on these classes. And you can contact Sue Wagner if you want to find out what books and what other materials we have if you can't be here for the classes locally. So make sure you do that, www.wantistore.com. Our call-in number, 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you're on the air live.
I'm happy. I want to serve.
Awesome. Hey, so tell me, what's going on? What class did you do last week?
Last week was script.
Oh, the live script
awesome
class. And you do live script appointments privately too, don't you?
Yes. Sue sends you the paper, and then you fill it out, and then you and I talk about the meaning of what the script is, and I refer people to Claude Steiner, who recently died, dear soul, rest in peace. He wrote, "Scripts people live." Every country has a script, every church, every government, every business, every family. Everybody's living their script, or they've gone to someplace like me and found out they don't like their script and they want to rewrite it. And that's what I do. I've rewritten my script, and I like my life better than when it was way back when.
You know, I had the wonderful experience of doing my life script with you, and it was really revealing. It was really revealing, and it really helped me make strides and changes in my life. And I had been going through kind of a painful experience, so it was very cathartic. I highly recommend it.
That's what it's for.
I highly recommend
it. So I did that. This Saturday, we're doing dream analysis. And we're using a wonderful book, The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams by Wilda Tanner. It is so good. It fits my program so well that it's just, I love these classes with six people. It's so familial. It's just great.
So in that class, do you actually analyze the dreams or?
Yes. Analyze the dreams, and I show the formula. I'm currently co-writing a book with Patricia Eltage, a student who's becoming a colleague, because of her skills in dream analysis. And so it's just a wonderful experience. And what we're bringing to the dream world is the work of Carl Jung, Yin and Yang, I Ching, and it's so significant. I don't know how anybody could analyze a dream without being steeped in Carl Jung's work.
Oh, Jung is amazing. Just truly amazing.
Yep, I like that. And we're bringing up a new one, Growing Old Gracefully. Gracefully. Spiritually gracefully. And I choose to believe that I, at 83, have ended up in a good place, even with a bad script and 35 years of my life walking backwards. So I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope, along with my educational capabilities as a marriage family therapist, to help others track me or create a track they like.
That is amazing. That is truly amazing. Because we want to do that. Now, we have a question that just came in on my phone. And this lady would like to know, what do you consider unethical behavior when you say, you talk about unethical behavior? She wants to know, can you define that?
Yes. Immoral is that which hurts the body. Taste, touch, smell, see, and hear.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it would be rape or something like that, torture, hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical is when somebody presumes. There's a wonderful book by Sandra Brown, Women Who Love Psychopaths. When you are with a psychopath, whether it's in employment or personal life, or a sociopath, it's the difference between the two. The psychopath, which if you saw Gaslight, you'll know Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer.
Wonderful movie.
Anyway, a psychopath tries to tell you you're crazy and they're fine. But a sociopath wants your money, power, and prestige. Now, unethical is when they misuse documents, training to do damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
More unethical, illegal is, for example, not maintaining the driving code or stealing.
I had
somebody tell me about a story of somebody stealing a bottle of wine at a wine place because it was so easy. There they were, the bottles standing on the counters. So took it, went off, opened it, drank some, colored water.
Oh my goodness.
So that's
John Lennon.
Signing your name to a contract, something that is going to do damage to your identity theft is totally in the character of unethical.
Well, person that got the colored water got some instant karma, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
John Lennon would be proud.
So there's that.
Wow. So yeah, there's definitely, I see what you're saying, a lot of different ways that they could be unethical. Our switchboard is telling me we have some calls coming in. Dr. Allen, are you ready for calls?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? You are live.
Ooh, yes, I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for you?
All right. Well, my question this week is about these ghosting guys that I keep on meeting where, you know, you're talking to them for a little while and they're texting you and stuff, and then poof, they're gone like a ghost.
Why? Because you're too much in integrity. They were hoping for a dumb blonde.
Hmm.
If you're doing anything that I teach, you're going to be very unattractive to a sociopath or a psychopath.
Got it. So you think are you saying that the people that I was talking to might be along those lines, and that's why they don't want to go further?
Yes, dear. Marriage is not for men. It's for women and children. When a man marries, what does he do? Takes on responsibility. A boy gets a new mommy, but a man takes mm-hmm. on responsibility. Women give up a lot of their identity in order to be married. So we all have to contribute some major part of our personalities in order to form what is called mating or marriage relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid you scared him off with your integrity and virtue.
Okay, well, I mean, the only thing I can do is just, I'm going to still be me, you know.
Well, do you want to be virtuous and in integrity?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, women who don't want to be in virtue and integrity have a lot of dates. They may even marry, but the marriage is not in virtue and integrity.
Mm-hmm. So if
many
I...
Women, what?
No, sorry, go ahead.
We women, because we are in so instinctive and our neurotransmitters tell us they are dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. Our instincts tell us when somebody's not being moral, ethical, and legal. And we would do well to pay attention and say no to immoral, unethical, and illegal requests. But the price tag for that is if this man does not want to be part of a responsible relationship, he will run, do not walk, to the nearest exit. But you may hear from him a year or two when he realizes he's alone. Men need to be married more than women. They need to have a woman, whether it's a daughter or a caregiver or a wife, whatever. Men need the emotional support of a loving woman when they get old. We women tend to group up and go visit Vegas together. You know what I mean? We kind of do. Men do their, what do I call it? They get into their gangs when they do their sports, you know, golfs and all that stuff. But we women don't do it until we're older and we join sewing societies and book clubs and things of that kind. But men at that time are so down in their testosterone that they need to be cherished. So between 45 and 55, look for a man that wants to be with a virtuous woman who will make his life more sensuous and more sexual, at least with affection, than it is when he's alone.
Well, and hopefully that would be the one that keeps in contact and keeps contacting you.
Oh, absolutely. They do not give up.
Okay. All right. That answers
all
my question.
Right. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Good luck with that.
Bye.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of talking about those. They're calling them ghosts. Guys, I think that's kind of appropriate for our month, this month, Halloween.
Hello.
Yeah, Halloween.
Oh, hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Have you got a question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
So I have a quick question. Would it be appropriate to send a hi by letter if he has he's already in another committed relationship?
You mean he's already in a relationship and you're writing him a letter about your relationship?
Yes.
Yes, because he can call you and say, thank you for the letter, but I'm already in a relationship, but thank you for your thoughts and feelings. You're not asking him to leave his wife. You see? What you're saying is, you're telling him what you liked, what you didn't like, what you want, what you don't want, and what you learned in this relationship, which is always learned through anxiety and pain. Pleasure is the reward of going through the anxiety and pain.
Okay, but if I want to get back with him, should I wait until he's single again?
No, because if you are his, what the Jewish culture religion say, if you are his beresheret, then way back when, he thought you were the soulmate he's looking for. He may have married someone other than you because you went off with whoever, or you went into the army or whatever you did. Anyway, by sending him the high bye, you're saying, I'm not emotionally done with you, and I'm going to send you a virtuous letter that will inform you that I'm still thinking about you in case I'm your beresheret. If so, maybe we need to consider getting together to see if we are meant to be soulmates, spiritual.
Okay, well, I just recently went through a breakup. We broke up about 2 days ago. And the reason was because he's a career man. And he's also a feminine man. So can you
Do you want a feminine man? You want a man with a job on the side?
No, he's actually a career man because he's a physician, so he works like
24 hours a day. A woman with a minimal career who likes to do charity work.
Okay, but he wants me to be a career man. He wants to be cherished and...
He wants both of you. He wants a convenient relationship in which you share careers, money, chores. Wouldn't you accept there's three types of relationships. Convenient, which is where both throw money in the pot, but they both do chores and they both have careers. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's what he wants. And I'm... Please continue.
A codependency is one in which one person basically is in charge of everything. Money, chores, whatever. The other person is codependently, I don't want to use the word slave, but if you saw the movie Secretary, you know what I'm talking about. And then the third one is an interesting one that used to be a legal choice in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. And that's one in which they get married and then they get another document to sign, which is a covenant. And that means that they agree never to divorce. And one person is the breadwinner and one person is the homemaker. And that particular relationship we might think of as the traditional, but it's literally still a legal documented choice in Louisiana. So the man you're with wants a convenience.
Right, he does. But he broke up with me because he's stressed out. So he said that he couldn't provide me the attention that I want. Because I'm the respected one in the relationship, I thought it would be appropriate for me to ask if we could see each other twice a week, and which cost, I guess it gave him a lot of pressure, and so he chose to end our relationship because he said he couldn't give me as much time.
I got it.
Right. So how should I be his friend? He wanted me to like be in his life, and he requested that we be friends.
Does he want you in his life sexually? Are you going to be a mistress?
No, he's not going to be looking for anyone else, and I'm okay not having intercourse with him.
Then he's okay with that. What he's doing is he's keeping you out of another man's marriage until he wants to settle down. Remember what I said a minute ago? That they when they get older, when they get 45 to 55, they really start needing to have a nest. They may take up cooking. They become real couch potatoes.
Oh, well, he's only 31 and he just started a new career.
Well, don't hold your breath. But remember, are you chemically attracted to him?
Yes, we have chemistry and compatibility, but
all right.
Communication, I guess.
But
just,
remember, every time you're within 30 inches of him, you're going to smell his pheromones. They go through your mouth, through your palate, on the top, up to the Jacobson's organ, which is where the third eye is. And then they split into two strands. One strand goes to the neocortex where you decide, and the other one goes to the pituitary where you trigger releasing oxytocin, and you get bonded, physically married. So be careful, because, you know, you're marrying him when you smell him, and everybody else looks like a dog.
Mm-hmm. So from now
you can answer his phone calls, emails, texts, fax. You can answer anything, but you can't smell him if you want to get over him.
I see. I want to provide him emotional support because he has a hard time saying what he wants. Right. So I have to like keep asking him, what do you actually want? And then he'll bottle it all up inside until he blows up, which he did with me, which is why he ended the relationship. So I'm trying to like help him through this. Is it my responsibility
or not?
I know
that, dear, but what you're doing is mothering him. And mothering him is, in my world, cancer training. The more you drain your energy, the more you ruin your T cell balance. For women, giving, protecting, and cherishing adults too much is cancer training. For men, not giving, not protecting, not cherishing women, kids, animals, and the planet, that's cancer training. You know why? Because men are built, when they're young, especially under 45, they're built to compete, conquer, and control. And when they rely on mummies like you, they don't experience their competitive, conquering, and controlling nature. When you are not passive, letting him chase lead, when you're not patient with him, and when you're not vulnerable to his leadership, you are mothering him.
Even if he's a feminine man, I would still need to be patient and passive and vulnerable?
No. You have to decide if your nature is truly masculine and you want. Do you flourish when you're giving, protecting, and cherishing adult men?
Yes. I think I'm more comfortable being respected. So that's why I like him, because he wants to be cherished.
Well, then, if that's the case, go for it. I have no problem with masculine women and feminine men. We're all both. So chase him.
So I should do the chasing if I'm being respected?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe he's just upset I'm not chasing him enough.
You did what?
Well, I was I was very patient, and I guess he got upset that I wasn't chasing him enough.
You know what? You were following my book instead of your instincts.
Right. I did read Getting to I Do.
I have never told every woman is one, should be a woman and should be cherished. No. There are right. men that are cherishable and women that are respectable. What I need is one of each in a relationship. Straight, right. gay, or lesbian.
Okay. Yeah, because the book actually did not go into much detail about how a respect, how a woman who cherish the man is supposed to.
It's at the end of the book. It's Andrea.
Andrea. Okay. I'll reread
it. It's in Getting to I Do, Andrea. William Morrow required that I put a woman in there that was masculine with a man that was feminine.
All right.
If people okay, so think just, I'm saying every woman's supposed to be feminine, every man's supposed to be masculine, that's not true. We are all both.
Right. So thank you for clarifying that. Just to sum everything up, right now I'm just going to wait for him to reach out to me, give him time to just be on his own and ruminate, or should I just tell him that, hey, I'm fine with being friends?
Well, why are you waiting?
Well, it's only been 2 days. I'm not ready to actually date other people yet. So I want to give
him,
I think he's valuable enough for me to want him back.
All right. But you need three men?
Well, I don't want to date right now because it's a fresh breakup, and I think he's worth
it
enough for me.
I got it. So yeah. you're gonna lie in wait like a female, and when he comes towards you, you're going to take over? Is that what you're saying?
I suppose, yes.
Will you do it happily or resentfully?
Happily, I think he's worth it.
All right, then. Chase that girl in a man's body. What kind of a doctor does he want to be?
Oh, no, he's already a doctor. He's a surgeon. So he's a surgeon.
Oh, he's a surgeon. Yeah, surgeons
right.
are like a carpenters. They don't need that much bedside manner. They're constructing things. It's more masculine.
But
for a man is most often feminine, requires his feminine instinct and put alongside his intuition. When a woman mm-hmm. is doing what I'm right now, I'm my father's son, working out of my head. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Firstborn, he wanted a boy. I am him. But I know how to be a girl after work.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so you
okay.
learn. What's the balance for you?
Okay, I'm trying to find the right way to.
Okay.
Or I'm trying to choose. Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Thank you, caller.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Why?
Yeah, people make that mistake that you say everybody has to be feminine. All the females, biological females, have to be feminine. But
hello.
Caller, you were on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Yes. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. What is it?
I have a question. I've called many, many times. I'm the Seattle, and I have something interesting happen. So the gentleman that's been dating me for now 7 months, he had some legal issues. So I was struggling with him being more feminine, and I was actually ready to break it off with him because I've tried, you know, I've committed to your program. I've tried it all. It's just we're not compatible. And then pretty much a few days before I wanted to have a conversation, he went to jail for his legal issues. And this isn't like his sentence. This is something that happened. He's supposed to be out in 2 weeks or maybe a month. I don't know. I can't reach him, obviously. I only had 20 minutes to talk to him before he went. And I didn't want to tell him over the phone because I actually wanted to have a normal conversation before we broke up. So I don't know what to do now. So do I consider myself single since he's there for I don't know how long, or what would you recommend?
Whatever you're comfortable doing. Do you want to terminate the relationship commitment?
I do, yes, but I would rather tell him face to face because, you know, he did a lot of good things for me as well, so I don't.
All right.
You know, I felt very.
So when is he? You don't know when he's coming out of jail.
No, I don't. He said it could be around 2 weeks, and it was just a week ago. So but it could be longer. He doesn't know.
What you're saying is you're going to be his woman until he comes out of jail, and then you'll tell him.
Yes, but if it takes what if it takes longer than 2 weeks? I can't. It's weird.
Then you'll
tell
him over the phone.
I can't reach him. I don't even know which jail he's in.
Oh, I see. Then
there's no communication, zero. He didn't arrange for anything.
So you're going to date, but you're not going to brag about it and let him know about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't let him know. I'm pretty sure anyone I date right now would be just a due to date. So it's
doesn't
even matter.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to have sex with people.
No. Of course not.
Right? So if you can't get a hold of him in a comfortable way, then you will take action to live your life. But when you do get to see him, you'll tell him the truth.
Yes. Truth meaning that I don't want to date him anymore, but not the truth.
That's
about
right.
Dating, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tell the truth.
I will. I had a quick question about your self-esteem class that you have in California.
Self-esteem
class.
Yeah, self-esteem class in the Wundt Institute. I really wanted to come for that.
Oh, self-esteem.
And
we're going to do the Myers-Briggs and discuss the meaning.
Oh, I see. Because I've already done that test. I'm an ENFP. Is that class, because I really want to come for class. I want to do the dream interpretation and one training, but for someone who's, I have the book of dream interpretation, the one that you recommend, and I've also gone through your, I want training, the CDs. Mm-hmm. So are those classes going to be still useful for me, you think, to come and do I really want to, but if I've already done a lot of those things.
All I'm saying is you're going to find out what your natural temperament is. But then how you want to apply it.
Oh, I see. Sounds cool.
Like, for example, when you hear a woman like the lady that was just on the phone, she, thinks she should be feminine when the truth is she's really masculine. So she puts her feminine self-esteem in a bad place. And therefore, that hurts her success factor. To thine own self be true, thou canst not then be false to any man or woman.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Myers-Briggs, but have you looked at how you're applying it and what you like and what you don't like?
Not really, no.
Well, that's what we're going to be doing because, see, most people do not identify with the Jungian concept of maleness and femaleness, yin and yang. We all have to balance our yin and yang in order to relate to another human being's yin and yang.
Got it. So that's what that class is about.
Yes, it's about energy manipulation.
Got it.
There's
nothing
in the universe but energy.
That's true. I agree.
And all the classes are really valuable one-on-one because, it's always Dr. Allen, touches on things and then somebody will have a question from the audience and she'll explore other things. So I find that those things are companions rather than competition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. No, I mean, I want to come to all of them. It's a dream come true, but I've kind of calculated my expenses would be like $600 total for, you know, to come to class. So I want to paste
sure,
it a little bit.
Sure.
And I just wanted to, any particular sequence you would recommend to take them in, or it doesn't matter?
No, doesn't matter. There are people
doesn't
taking
matter.
The same one over and over. For example, the script one. As you unravel your personality, you learn things about yourself you never even considered.
Oh, true. Well, we did the script analysis, you and I, one-on-one over the phone, and luckily I recorded it. I've listened to it probably now 7 times, and I hear something new every single time.
Every time. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much. And, thank you. And I'll see you soon, I guess. I think you're
in class. Very good.
Month and a half? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Bye.
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 I think that the different classes are so valuable, and the companion materials are just, you know, perfect because they go together naturally.
I know. They're really all of the segments of what I teach, but they're done individually.
Exactly. We have another call. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
So I've been rotational dating, and it's been going pretty well. What happens is I get to this place where they start to ask me about my work and my, like, the money career stuff, and I start to get, like, all my shame and insecurity starts to come up. And I guess I was just wondering if you have any tips about that. I've been noticing
when a man starts interviewing for financial success.
Some do.
When
and
a man
some,
starts interviewing yeah. you for financial success, does that scare
okay.
you?
It does, yeah.
Then what you say to him is, I surely appreciate that you're interested in my career, but I thought we were dating to have fun.
Oh, okay.
What he's doing is finding out how much he has to have in order to have you.
I see.
Men marry for sensual and sexual security 2/3 of the time. 1/3 of the time, men marry for status and financial security. They marry sugar mama. 2/3 of the time, this is a Harvard study, 1990, still valid. 2/3 of the time, women mate and marry for status and financial stability because many women want to be home when their children are little and they need somebody. Even if they're doctors, they need somebody that might want to contribute to the family. And 1/3 of women mate and marry for sensual and sexual security. They're called gigolos. No, they're called cougars. They like toy boys. So each of us has a motivation for why we mate and why we marry.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you. Now I have something to say versus just a blank look.
Yes, you have something to say. What you say is, I'm very impressed that you want to know how successful I am, but I was hoping that we would play.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
It's the same as when women ask a man, you know, does he want his wife to work? I like men to interview women for the job of wife.
I agree.
Unless the woman is the man that she interviews.
Right. We have another call. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question about psychopaths.
Have you read Sandra Brown's book?
Yes. However, I'm still seeing a lot of similarities between your definition of masculine and psychopathy. I was wondering if you could give me your differences.
You mean you're scared by competitive, conquering, and controlling men?
What I identified was that he had no empathy, and he was aware that he had no empathy.
See, the difference between a psychopath and a real gentleman is the psychopath never asks you what you feel about what they're doing. They lecture you about how you're wrong if you don't appreciate what they're doing.
Well, he definitely did that. I'll have to think about if he asked me how I felt about those things.
I think any man that asks you how you feel is not a psychopath, because he really is showing that he wants to empathize with you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So the way you can test him is to say, are you interested in how I feel about what I do or what you're doing?
Won't he kind of learn and kind of lie and kind of make it up to kind of make it seem like he's interested
he lied
in my feelings?
To you?
Yeah, he's lying.
You say, well, honey, people who lie are psychopathic or sociopathic.
Okay.
That's the sign. They don't make and keep agreements.
Okay.
Do you see? So you may easily be with somebody who's not able to make or keep agreements.
Okay. He will definitely argue that he does in his own way, but...
Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's the Hitler did it in his own way, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is very helpful. My mother
remember,
was a psychopath.
Remember Hitler's big lie? You need to take a shower first.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lie.
I don't understand.
Got it?
No, I don't get it.
Men who are gentlemen care how we feel.
Okay. And they won't,
men
they won't
who
pretend
are psychopaths
to care.
What?
They won't pretend to care how I feel just so that I will.
But if you catch them in a lie, they undo that false belief.
Okay.
All right? Don't sign a paper with anyone in less than a year. Psychopaths and sociopaths can con you easily for a year.
Okay.
You all right?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good luck, caller. Bad psychopath thing. They got to hit on more than just one or two.
What?
With the idea of the psychopath, they have to hit on just more than one or two of those. 20.
Yeah, who?
Anybody has to, you know, you can't consider somebody a psychopath just because they lack empathy. I mean, there's other things that contribute to that whole idea, you know,
it's the level. Right.
So,
but I want to rave about Sandra Brown's book, Women Who Love Psychopaths.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great book. They actually, my professor presented it in family classes for a marriage family.
Good.
And some of the women in the class were so taken aback by it. And I thought, you know, because Sandra Brown does that on TED Talk. So incredibly.
Good.
If you get a chance, Dr. Allen, you should definitely take a look at that video. It's really amazing. And I know you're a big fan of Sandra Brown and what she has to say.
Right.
So here we have another question. We have a short amount of time, so I'll ask this quick question from one of our girls here. And I think I might have a question from a gentleman, too. Let's see if I can blow this up so I can read it a little bit better. Okay. She says, 7 years, Dr. Allen, we've been married. I find him doing things out of character now. We're in our late 30s, and he's doing things like going to the gym, coming home late, and he's not accountable. I've asked him directly if he's unhappy in the relationship and no longer committed to it. He claims he is, and that I'm paranoid. That's the question.
Well, but I don't hear that she says you have every right not to keep your agreement to come home by 9 o'clock. But I don't feel very cherished. So I think maybe I'll start sleeping in the guest room.
Oh, that's a good one. That's really good. So she would just ask for an appointment like we discuss often. And then present her case, if you
remember, there has to be an agreement. Because if it isn't a broken agreement, he hasn't done anything wrong. He's simply doing what he feels like doing. He's in his I. And if you expect him to always be in we, you want a codependent relationship. So make agreements. And then, if he breaks them, tell him the cost factor.
Now, it's interesting, Dr. Allen, that she specifies 7 years. And I know you talk about the 3.5-year cycle.
Yeah, the 7-year itch is 2 Saturn cycles of 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on? Because he's not quite going into andropause.
What he's doing is he's checking out the boundaries for what the costs are for becoming an individual again.
Kind of like a 2-year-old.
He's divorcing without divorcing.
Very, very interesting. And I can see why she's feeling a little unsettled about it.
Well, I don't hear that they're making agreements that are, you know, the devil's in the details.
No, I agree with you. I think
four signs of a poor communicator: evasiveness, secretiveness, condescending attitude, and abrupt speech.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use those techniques, you're signaling that you're on the way to being single again.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. We have a gentleman who is asking us a question. He says, no. I have a very serious problem. When I met and married my wife, we had agreed that we would have children. Now, after 2.5 years of marriage, she's backpedaling and does not want to have children or is saying we need to wait longer. Dr. Allen, I don't think we should wait longer. I'm almost 40 and she's 38. I feel like we're running out of time. And if she doesn't want to have children, that was always my dream.
Then please feel free to tell her you have every right to change your mind. But the cost for doing that is I'm filing for divorce.
Yeah, that's a rough one, Dr. Allen. The whole concept of agreeing that you're both intention to make a family, to have a family, and then
people have a right to change their minds, but they have to pay the price for it.
Yes, they do. Well, Dr. Allen, we're almost out of time again. What have you got to say to me tonight before we go?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What is it I want that I don't have? What is it I have that I don't want? And what is the price tag for changing?
Amazing. Okay, everyone. I want to remind you that we have, before we are back with you, we will have Halloween. We want to wish everybody a happy and safe Halloween. And don't forget that the 1st is Wednesday. November 1st is Wednesday. That would be our show in Orange County. And the Monday that follows that is the 6th, and that'll be Culver City Marriott. Find more about that at www.drpatallen.com. And everybody, we love you. Have a great night. We'll see you next. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.